Welcome to ID the Future. I'm Sarah Chaffee. Today we have on the show with us Dr. Anne Gager, who holds a PhD in zoology from the University of Washington and completed a postdoctoral fellowship at Harvard. She is a senior fellow of the Center for Science and Culture and serves as a scientist at Biologic Institute, as well as director of science communications at the Center for Science and Culture. Welcome, Anne.
My pleasure.
Transportation, byways, traffic cops, factories. No, I'm not talking about a city, but rather the complex operations of the cell. Last time, we talked a little bit about how the nucleus is like the Library of Congress. Would you share with us a bit more about how the cell is like a city?
Sure. The cell has to perform all kinds of functions that cities do. It has to generate energy. It has to store products that it makes and then ship them out. It has to receive information from outside the cell and respond. It has to have transportation network, waste recycling, all kinds of things that a city has.
What is the power plant for the cell?
The power plant of the cell is something called a mitochondrion, the big word. But mitochondria are absolutely essential for life in all oxygen-breathing organisms. Let me rephrase that. All eukaryotic oxygen-utilizing organisms, they look like miniature blimps. They have double membranes. Actually, I think they might even be triple membranes that are corrugated. And embedded in those membranes are proteins that carry out a series of chemical reactions. And they import molecules from outside of them that then get digested in a series of chemical reactions and turn the energy in those molecules into ATP. ATP is the storage unit for energy. It's like the currency that the cell uses. Anytime it needs a reaction and needs to buy energy, it uses ATP. The cool thing about the mitochondrion is that everything in it is recycled. The pathways by which the breakdown of chemicals take place is actually a cycle. It regenerates itself as it breaks down molecules. And every last bit of the stored energy in the compounds that it breaks down is used. It gets shunted through a complicated pathway in the membrane, harvesting electrons and using them, passing them like little hot potatoes from one complex to another, and then shifting hydrogen ions across the membrane. And here's the amazing thing. Those hydrogen ions build up like the water behind a dam. And then as the dam has access for the hydrogen ions to flow through like water through a turbine. And as the water flows through the turbine, as the hydrogen ions flow through, they cause the turbine to rotate. And in human terms, the water would cause the generation of electricity for mitochondria, and the flowing of the hydrogen ions actually generates ATP. So it's an amazing process. It's also efficient. For every molecule of sugar that's broken down, 30 to 32 molecules of ATP are generated. That's an efficiency of about 40% of harvesting the energy that's available in the glucose.
And what sort of highways and byways does the cell have? What's this infrastructure in the cellular city?
The cell gets its structure, its three-dimensional structure, from what's called a cytoskeleton. And it's composed of microtubules, which are like, you can think of them as being like roads, or you can also think of them as being like structural beams that hold the cell in the right shape. The difference with microtubules between our roads and microtubules is that microtubules assemble and disassemble themselves in response to the environment. So that would be like roads that appear where they're needed and then disappear when they're not. There are also microfilaments, which are smaller structural components that provide the shape to the cell along the inner membrane. they assemble and disassemble. If the cell is a mobile cell that crawls along, the microfilaments will extend the cell in one direction and disappear as it retracts as it crawls along. So it moves forward crawling, and they assemble to move everything forward, and then they disassemble the back end of the cell. Microtubules and microfilaments are made of proteins. There are also other structural proteins which create, that serve as the bricks and mortar of the city, involved in building all the kinds of things that are necessary for the cell to function. Then there are also lipids, which are fats that form the boundaries of the cell and the boundaries of the mitochondria and other organelles. And we'll talk some more about them in just a little bit.
How are materials shipped within the cell?
Okay. There's a post office where everything gets organized. Materials are manufactured on ribosomes and packaged in lipid vesicles, and then they get sorted in the post office, which is called the Golgi apparatus, and shipped off in whatever their destination is. They're carried by these little walking protein structures that function as the trucks. They walk along the microtubule highways carrying their membrane-bound, their lipid-bound cargo, and they take it wherever it needs to go. How it gets sorted into the right direction, some of the signaling processes that determine how that happens, we know. Some of it, we have no idea.
So we talked about shipping within the cell, but what exactly is kinesin?
Kinesin would be like the postman that delivers the mail, or UPS truck that carries the packages. It is a molecule with a very odd shape. It has two long legs, 2 feet, and a stalk-like body. And when it receives a package to carry, it attaches itself to one of the many microtubule highways in the cell, and it begins to stride along, 1 foot over the other, dragging its cargo behind it. It looks, for all the world, like a little stick man walking down a road with a bundle, a great big bundle on his back. It's an amazing motor molecule that can muscle its way through the cytoplasm, dragging sometimes very large cargo with it. It can be as big as a mitochondrion that it's dragging. If it's too heavy for one kinesin, they partner up and work together. And they're very hard to dislodge. They have a lot of tenacity, you could say. If it gets stuck because of the cytoplasm being crowded and lots of intersecting microtubules, for example, and gets jammed, then it will recruit other kinesin molecules, and they will pull in opposite directions, rocking the cargo back and forth until finally they can work it free. And then the kinesin resumes walking in the original direction. It's like a driver who gets stuck in a snowdrift and rocks the car back and forth until he can break free. How do they know where they're going? We don't know yet. We don't know. How do they know what road to take? We don't know. It's probably something that we may come to know more about. It's an active area of research. But the fact that something like kinesin exists is just marvelous.
And why is kinesin essential?
You couldn't transport the materials around the cell. Things have to be exported. Say a cell is devoted to making a hormone or some other product that needs to be excreted in the body. It gets manufactured by ribosomes and then packaged into vesicles, but the vesicles have to be transported to the external surface of the cell. And it's kinesin that does it. Let me give you a really radical example. Nerve cells in your body. The body of the nerve cell can be up in the neighborhood of your brain, but then it has a very, very long process called an axon, which can extend all the way to the spinal cord. Or you can have a nerve cell in the spinal cord that sends its processes all the way down to the tip of your toe. So it can be a very, very long, thin process. The stuff that the nerve cell needs is made in the cell body, and it has to get transported all the way down that process to the end. The mitochondria that the cell needs for energy are in the cell body, but they have to get distributed all the way down the process so there's energy for things to take place. The signaling molecules that the nerve uses at the very end of that process, at its what it's called its synapse, all of those signaling molecules have to be made and then transported down to the synapse. It's kinesin walking along microtubules that does that.
What about quality control or waste management?
Okay, there are proteins whose job is to chaperone new proteins and make sure that they get folded right. There are proteins and RNAs which patrol and look for misfolded proteins or partial RNAs and chop them up, recycle them, if you will. There are compartments called lysosomes that would be like the garbage dumps where things that are no longer needed get recycled. It's an amazing process.
Our bodies are made up of many kinds of cells. So would it be safe to say that if our cells are like cities, our body is like a nation?
I think that's a fair assessment. The only thing is, cities in the United States tend to be similar to each other in the ways they function. They all have power plants. They all are involved in manufacture and transport and et cetera. But cells in the body are specialized. There are over 200 different kinds of cells in the body. Some of them specialize in manufacture and export. Some of them specialize in defense, protecting the nation, if you will. Some of them specialize in communication, like the nerves in the brain. Some of them specialize in the digestion of resources and turning it into energy. The gut transports food products into the bloodstream. The bloodstream functions as another way of transporting nutrients and oxygen to the whole nation, not just within a cell. I could go on and on. There are lots of different kinds of cells that take part in a number of different ways.
So it seems that they function for the good of the body as a whole.
That's true. If a cell goes rogue and decides it's going to just divide out of control, it becomes something called cancer. The cells, most of them, have adopted a permanent way of being. Liver cells stay liver cells, and their function is to purify the body of waste products, and so that's what they do. But it is possible for a liver cell to become cancerous, for example. If it does, it can do in the whole nation.
Well, thank you for joining us today, Dr. Gager.
You're welcome.
We will resume this discussion in the next podcast. And to all our listeners, thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.